I am Vernon Joines, and for the next few moments, we're going to be taking a look at the subject, but that it spread no further. The fourth chapter of Acts records these words in verses 16 and 17. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Jesus had been crucified, and the apostles began the preaching of the gospel by telling the Jews, Jesus of Nazareth, ye by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay, whom God raised up. In Acts 2, verses 22 through 24. As they continued to preach the message of Christ, the rulers of the Jews felt themselves forced to take some kind of action. Not willing to accept the message, they chose to oppose it. They arrested Peter and John and warned them to quit preaching Jesus as the Christ and release them. When the apostles continued to preach the same message, they were again arrested. This time they were beaten and warned and commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Acts 5 and verse 40. But the apostles were not intimidated. They continued to teach daily that Jesus is the Christ. Acts 5:42. The attitude of these religious leaders is not unlike that of religious leaders in every age. They have the same basic motives, the same reasons for their actions, and they use similar procedure in opposing the message. Their motive, first of all, keep the status quo. You see, the Jewish leaders had opposed Jesus and his teaching, for in him they saw a threat to their own power and their influence among the people. Now, if the people followed him, they would cease to depend upon these rulers. Even Pontius Pilate knew that for envy they delivered him. Matthew 27:18. Now, by the preaching of the apostles, the message of Jesus as the Christ offers renewed threats to the power of the Jewish rulers. Determined to prevent change, the rulers closed their eyes to truth. As Jesus had said of them in Matthew 13:15, when he quotes from an Old Testament passage from the book of Isaiah, this people's heart is waxed gross, or grown hard, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, having closed their eyes, they rejected the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8 and verse 32. This word of truth is called in Ephesians 1:13 the gospel of your salvation. While striving to prevent change, these rulers were really rejecting salvation. That's what it amounted to. Now, their reason, they had to either accept it or to oppose it, one or the other. As noted above in the preceding statement, these rulers had rejected Jesus, and he came unto his own, and they received him not, in John 1 and verse 11. But these rulers were not evil intention, they were blinded by their own prejudice, but still blinded. And there are a lot of people today who are blinded by prejudice and do not accept the truth. And Peter told them in Acts 3 and verse 17, I know that in ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. Now, Paul echoed this in 1 Corinthians 2:8 when he said, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They were honest, but honestly mistaken. Aren't many people like that today? Believing Jesus was a blaspheme and a false teacher, the preaching of the apostles grieved the rulers, Acts 4 and 2, and this message forced them to examine their own faith. And although such investigation is laudable, 2 Corinthians 13:5, we are taught to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Nevertheless, it is a painful process for all of us. The gospel of Christ left them no neutrality. They must accept it, or they had to oppose it. They must either believe it or change. Note in Acts 2 and verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." These rulers must admit that rejecting Jesus was a mistake, or they must oppose the gospel, and they chose to oppose it. And the choice is still that simple today. When confronted with the Word of God, it still declares the same thing, and we must either be willing to accept it, or we will invent any good excuse that we can think of for opposing it. Now, what action did they take? Well, deny the evidence, they admit something. When Jesus did miracles among them, and the Jews never questioned his power, even when they criticized him for healing on the Sabbath, they knew he could miraculously do so in Mark 3. But now, Peter and John do a miracle, the healing of a lame man, Acts 3, 1 through 11. And this man was well known in Jerusalem, and people marveled at the miracle. What attitude did the rulers have when they discussed it? Well, the scripture says, "They indeed, a notable miracle had been done by them, is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." They knew a miracle had been done by Peter and John, and they realized that others throughout the city also knew it, and it would do no good to deny it. Now, the rulers, while admitting the miracle, then proceeded to deny the consequences of it. One of their group had been more honest. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." John 3 and verse 2. This was the purpose of miracles, to prove the message was from God. And John wrote of the miracles of Jesus and expressed it in these words, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." John 20 and verse 31. And this is the argument of Peter in Acts 2 and verse 22. "Jesus, approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, even as ye yourselves know." They must know that Jesus was sent from God. No one could do these miracles unless God was with him. But the same principle is true with the apostles. Their word is proved to be true by the miracles which they did, or God did through them, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. Hebrews, the second chapter and verse 4. Now the rulers, admitting the evidence, denied the meaning of it. The order went forth, "Speak no more in this name." The answer of Peter and John was simple. "Whether it be right to hearken unto you rather than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we saw and heard." In John 4, verses 19 and 20. Well, we need to take a look at the results then. Truth was and is triumphant. It always will be. In trying to contain the gospel, the rulers succeeded in spreading it even further and faster. Now, their object was that it spread no further, but it did. Believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. The number of disciples was multiplied, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. In Acts 5:14, Acts 6:1, and Acts 6 and verse 7. Truth can only be suppressed temporarily. Then it will come out. So as then, even so now. There's always the temptation to keep things as they are, the status quo, you know, and not rock the boat. But the rulers of the Jews found that would not work when opposing the gospel of Christ, nor will it work now. Truth, though suppressed for a time, will become known. Leaders of the Jews oppose the teaching that Jesus is the Christ. And religious leaders today set themselves against other plain, basic teaching of the gospel. The one body, the church, Colossians 1:18, and this is the body of the church of Christ. Necessity of baptism in Mark 16:16. The necessity of worshiping God as he prescribes in John 4:24. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the need to be guided by his word in all that we do. Galatians 1:8, 2 John 9, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. These teachings and dozens more are opposed by religious leaders somewhere, somehow. Modern opposition is much like that of the Jewish leaders. The motive is to keep things as they are, to prevent change from the orthodox or the traditional pattern. The reason is still the same. The acceptance of truth demands change, and that means the loss of prestige or influence by some people. And so eyes are closed, as they were some 1900 years ago, by honest people who are honestly mistaken. I cannot overemphasize that. Many honest people are honestly mistaken. The Apostle Paul was. Of course, it's clearly charted for us in the example of Peter and John. We ought to obey God rather than men, Acts 5 and verse 28. And we must seek first to please God, not men, Matthew 6:33, Galatians 1:10. And we must be willing to learn God's will by diligently applying ourselves to the study of his word. And we must willingly accept the truth God reveals as his will for our lives. And we must be set for the defense of the gospel against all opposition. Philippians 1 and verse 17. An open heart and an open mind require no less.